Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today, an amazing local story that just happened a week or two ago, right here in Cincinnati, Ohio. One day, one of the rabbis in our area was approached by a non-Jew, and he said, "Rabbi, do you know any Levites?" So the rabbi said, "Yes, why are you interested in meeting a Levite?" He said, "Well, because every time that I earn money, I set aside a tithe, a tenth, because it says in the Bible that we should give a tenth of our income to the Levites. And I would like to know if there's any Levites around that I could give my tenth to." So the rabbi said, "Well, let me talk to one of the Levites that I know." "Okay." So they exchanged phone numbers. And the rabbi called up a shliach who he knew, who was a Levite, the Levi. He knew that he himself didn't need the charity, but he did know that his friend, who is a shliach and has a Chabad house and is very involved in helping many, many Jewish people, needs money. And giving charity is appropriate, that it should be given to such a place. So he called his friend. He said, "So-and-so, Yankel," or whatever his name was, "I have an offer from a non-Jewish person who I know." He said that he saves up a tithe of all of his money whenever he earns it, and he wants to find a Levite to give money to. So I myself am a Levite, actually. As you may know, I'm a Levi, but I'm not in a position of taking charity. So if you would like, I can give you whatever money he gives me that he's been saving up for your Chabad house." So the Chabad house rabbi, who was a Levi, said, "Okay, thank you very much." And some time went by and nobody thought too much about it. The rabbi who had originally met the non-Jew, for some reason, some time went by and it didn't happen. But one day, the non-Jew calls up again his friend, the rabbi, and says, "I have the money ready." "Okay, you know, next time I am in your area, I'll pick it up." And that's what he did. He picked it up. It was a box, a little box, and he didn't open it. He just figured, okay, there's some money in there. He was in a rush that day. And he brought it to his friend, the Chabad house rabbi. He said, here's the box of money. I didn't even open it yet, but it's for you." Chabad house rabbi opened the box, and he sees that although it's a small box, it's packed full of bills. And he sees that for the most part, they are not $1 bills or $5 bills or $10 bills. They are mostly $100 bills. Maybe even larger than that. Are there larger bills than hundreds? I think there's such a thing as a $500 bill. Unbelievable. They counted up the money. It was $40,000. $40,000 this non-Jew had saved up and was giving it to a Levite. And that money went to that Chabad house. And it so happened that that month, the Chabad house rabbi had a huge bill that he had to pay. Perhaps it was in connection with his new Chabad house that he had built. I don't know, but it was a huge debt that he owed that he had to pay. And the money came just in time. So from this, we have some amazing lessons. First of all, the money came just in time. Baruch Hashem. Hashem takes care of the Jewish people. As the Rebbe once said to somebody who was asking for a blessing in Parnassa, and the person said to the Rebbe that he has very serious problems in Parnassa. The Rebbe answered him by saying, "Hashem provides Parnassa for every single Jewish person, for every single non-Jewish person, for every single creature. For sure, Hashem can provide Parnassa, can provide a livelihood for you as well. And especially when a person is occupied full-time in doing mitzvahs, Avos Yisrael, helping another Jewish person to come closer to Torah mitzvahs, for sure, Hashem's going to certainly help with the parnasa, but every single Jewish person and every person in general, trusting Hashem and putting our faith in Hashem is certainly the right thing to do. Of course, we have to do the work that it takes to earn money, but it's Hashem's blessing that actually we are living from. And then there's another important lesson. We see here that a non-Jewish person is really, in this story, focusing very, very strongly on trying to do what Hashem wants him to do. He reads the Bible. He sees that Bible, meaning the Torah, non-Jewish people refer to it as the Bible. There are two Bibles they refer to. One is the Holy Torah, and one is Lahavdil, Havdalos, and Kayitz. There's no description of how big a separation it is. It's a false Bible, unfortunately, that some people also study. But Lahavdil. But this person was referring to the actual Torah. The Torah speaks about giving a tenth to a Levite, to Levium. And we see that this was a very sincere person. And the truth is that although Jewish people are separate from the rest of the people in the world, we have a different mission. We have our 613 mitzvahs, not the seven mitzvahs. Well, some of them are the same. But we're not limited to the seven mitzvahs of the B'nai Noach, of the descendants of Noach, of other people. We do have our separate mission. But at the same time, our mission is involved as well with non-Jewish people. And it's important for us, as the Rebbe explains on many, many occasions, that we teach the non-Jewish people about the seven commandments of the children of Noah. And that doesn't mean if you're a young child that you should go to your non-Jewish neighbors to teach them. This is really something that adults should be involved in. But it's important to realize that non-Jewish people are not unconnected to us. We are separate from them in our service of Hashem, but at the same time, it is we who are to guide the non-Jewish people to serving Hashem through the seven commandments of the children of Noah. And as the Rambam tells us at the end, very close to the end of his Sefer of Mishneh Torah, that in the time of the Geula, the later periods of the Geula, that the entire world, every single human being, including non-Jews, according to most commentaries of the Rambam, he's referring, including non-Jews, will only be involved in knowing Hashem. This is a time period in which there's plenty of everything in terms of food and money and so forth for everybody, and therefore people will not at that time have to be so involved in work. And what will be the occupation of people, the Rambam says, is to know Hashem. So we see that it's very important to try to help non-Jews as well. Again, children shouldn't necessarily go and start playing with non-Jewish children in order to influence them. That's not correct. But more for adults, to whether it's at the place of business or meet somebody at the store or in the park and get to talking a little bit, and to teach them about the seven commandments of the children of Noah. And this will certainly speed the coming of Mashiach. May it happen immediately. And thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. As you all know, or perhaps you all know, that this is a very tense time in the land of Israel. Of course, we always trust in Hashem, but there is a big threat. Baruch Hashem, we have been very successful against our enemies. And recently, the IDF killed a very, very, very powerful and dangerous person who was a big, big Sinai Yisrael, hater of Jewish people. But at the same time, we can expect the enemy to try to strike us, Chas v'Shalom. And therefore, it's very important for us to increase in our Torah and mitzvahs, increase in acts of goodness and kindness, and to realize that every single Jew has the power to tip the scale, as the Rambam puts it, the scale of good versus evil, and to bring the Geula. No one has to just be in the bleachers watching the show. Each and every one of us has the ability to bring Mashiach now. And that's not a secret how to do it. It's through increasing in Torah and mitzvahs. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Or if you hear this after Shabbos, have a wonderful week. And a kosher and happy Pesach.